If you listen to singer Israel National Radio, my guest is a very, very special man. He is a leading sage of the Jewish people. My guest also is a renowned psychiatrist. He's referred to as Pittsburgh's most famous psychiatrist because of the work that he's done helping folks in drug addiction. He's the author of many books. I think the number is number 56, a new book out called Happiness and the Human Spirit, What Spirituality is Really All About and Why It is Important for You. Rabbi Avram Tversky, welcome to Israel National Radio.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Oh, it's an honor to have you on. Let me just begin. This is a very interesting thing because you're joining us talking about how to feel happiness. And as we're talking about this, a fast is now coming upon us, the 10th day of the 10th month, where our faith tells us that we must mourn, we must feel a sadness, because the 10th day of Tevis really marks the beginning of the destruction of Yerushalayim. Help us just work through that balance.
Yes, that is not that's not at all a contradiction. I think that when we talk about the loss of Yerushalayim, we have to talk about why we lost Yerushalayim. And when we lost Yerushalayim, because we were derelict in being real menschen, in Gemilas Chasodim and Sinas Chinam. That's the kind of thing that cost us the loss of Yerushalayim. Now, it ties right into the theme that we're talking about, that a person who would be able to have true spirituality and true happiness would not fall into the traps of those conditions that caused us to Yerushalayim.
It's fascinating. Tell me this, Rabbi. I went to the School of Social Work, and I was taught when we were taking classes in psychoanalysis that basically a person's personality is forged and formed early on in life. This is like so Freudian, the idea that events that occur when we're kids are so traumatic that essentially what we do the rest of our lives, we're just trying to cope with the events, the trauma that occurred in our early lives. You are a world-renowned psychiatrist. Your new book, Happiness and the Human Spirit, is there any truth to that? How does somebody overcome a spirit of sadness and feeling lethargical?
Well, the point that I made was that a person cannot truly be happy unless one is complete. If a person, for example, is missing a mineral such as iron, he's going to have iron deficiency and he's going to have symptoms of illness. Same thing with vitamin deficiencies. Now, a person is more than a body. There is something more to us that makes us human other than the fact that we walk on two legs. And the thing that makes us human are a number of traits that are unique to human beings that animals do not have. For example, we are the only living things that have the ability to be humble. We are the only living things that we can make ethical and moral choices, even in defiance of our bodily drives. We have the ability to improve ourselves. We have the ability to be compassionate, to have perspective of the future, to search for truth, to have a goal in life. All of these make us into human beings. Now, if we do not use these traits, we are incomplete as human beings, and an incomplete human being cannot be happy. Now, what happens is that when we lack these things, and we have this chronic unhappiness, that people desperately look for things that will make them feel better. So one finds alcohol, the other finds drugs, the other finds sex, the other finds gambling, the other finds food, the other finds pursuit of money. We look for many things to get rid of our chronic unhappiness while not realizing our chronic unhappiness is due to the fact that we are deficient in being that which we should be. Now, please note that even though I'm a rabbi and even though I have taught religion when I was a rabbi, I am now functioning as a psychiatrist, and I'm talking about being spiritual. I don't ask a patient about his religion or her religion. That is their private thing. However, just as a physician, I want to make sure that they have all the necessary nutrients for their body. I feel that they should have all the nutrients that makes them human beings, which I refer to as the spirit. The spirit is not a religious concept. And this is why I say happiness depends on developing the qualities of the human spirit.
But you can't, and correct me if I'm wrong, you can't be, because the word spiritual in our culture is thrown around a lot by everyone. I'm spiritual. You can't be spiritual without a personal relationship with God. Am I right?
No, wait. I think you cannot be religious without a personal relationship with God. I have said that religion must have spirituality, otherwise it's really just a bunch of superficial rituals. So religion must have spirituality. The way I define spirituality, a person can be spiritual even if he does not have a relationship with God, as long as he utilizes all of the kinds of traits that a human being has. Now, one of the things that I point out, however, is that it's a human trait, uniquely human trait, to look for a purpose in life. A purposeless life, you know, I've also written about self-esteem. A person who has no goal and no purpose in life cannot have much self-esteem. Now, how can a person have purpose in life if he views the whole world as being purposeless? And if a person does not believe that there is a God who created the world for a purpose, and that the whole world happened as a great big bang out of some freak accident and has no purpose in its existence, then what kind of sense does it make to look for a purpose, a personal purpose, in a world that is totally purposeless? Therefore, if a person is going to be spiritual and utilize all these traits of spirituality, he's going to come to a point where if he looks for a purpose in life, then he's going to have to find a religious, an idea of God. So spirituality can lead him and should lead him to a religious belief. But by the same token, a person can be spiritual as long as he fulfills all the human traits.
If you're just tuning in, my guest is Rabbi Dr. Avraham Tversky. Has written well over 50 books. His new work out is Happiness and the Human Spirit, What Spirituality Really is All About and Why It's So Important for You. Rabbi Tversky, I have met you years ago when you were speaking at a retreat and I was there, and you speak about self-esteem. That's a very important message, I think, in all your work. What does that really mean? I mean, let's say there's folks who are listening to the show right now who sometimes feel this sense of depression. Inside, they feel worthless. They don't feel worthy. Is that the trapping of what brings people into a life where there isn't coping and there isn't happiness and fulfillment?
Yes, I have gone on record as saying that if we exclude those mental illnesses, emotional problems, which are due to physical imbalances, all the rest can be traced to the fact that people lack self-esteem. And by self-esteem, I mean that a person should have a true self-awareness. What is unfortunate is that most people underestimate themselves. They have negative feelings about themselves. And the reason that I wrote so much about that is that for 38 years of my life, I suffered because I was not aware of myself, and I did not give myself the due credit. Now, I point out in my books that having self-esteem does not mean having gaiva or vanity. In fact, I quote Rabbeinu Yonah, one of the great ethicists of 1,000 years ago, who says that gaiva or vanity is simply a desperate defense by a person who feels worthless to give himself some kind of good feeling. So I believe that we should come to a true self-awareness. And of course, as I said, you know, a person without having a purpose in life can't have too much self-esteem, because, face it, look at the things that we value. We value things either because of their function or because of an aesthetic value. Now, not many people have an aesthetic value. We're all not that good looking. Our self-esteem has to be based on our function. What is our function? If our function is merely to go through a day's work, to come home, kick off the shoes, sit in front of the TV with a couple of bottles of beer, that is not any kind of edifying function. We can't get self-esteem from that. So Self-esteem means developing a purpose in life, living our life to the fullest, and not like an animal. Now, here's what I mean by that. Animals are not motivated by anything other than self-gratification. Animals, except for pet dogs, do not know how to get out of their skin, right? And what makes us human beings, and this is why Avraham Avinu, the father of our people, emphasized chesed so much, because to be a true human being, you have to be able to do chesed, to get out of yourself and to do for other people. And kindness. This is what I mean by being a mensch, a spiritual being, and not with animal traits.
Hmm. And I know this, Rabbi, because we have listeners around the world who are hanging on your every word. And I'm understanding that balance, the real difference between self-esteem and vanity, which is emptiness and vanity. It's worthless and actually very destructive. Someone is listening to your voice right now, Rabbi, and is saying, okay, I understand that part of self-esteem means that I have to have goals, but I don't know what my goal is. I don't know what I'm really supposed to do with my life, and I want to have goals. I want to have that sense of purpose, but I don't know how to focus myself. What would you suggest?
Well, first of all, I think that a person who thinks that way is 50% there. The problem with the majority of people is that they get so involved in day-to-day living with going to work and whatever, that they don't take enough time to think about, do I have a purpose and what is it? Once a person will be looking for a purpose, there's readings he can do, there's people he can talk to and investigate a purpose in life. In many of these traits, I believe that a person does not have to be a complete person only if he fulfills them, but if he works toward them. It's not the goal that's the end product, but the process of getting there. And if people will begin to look for a purpose in life, they may not find it in a day or in a week, but they will eventually find a real reason as to what they're to do with their life over and above seeking pleasure. Pleasure is fine, and I don't deny anybody the pleasures of life, but I don't think that we were created simply to have pleasure.
Is there any place for someone who does not suffer from some physical ailment, like bipolar disorder or so on, which has to be, I think, addressed through Medicare? Is there any place for Xanax? Is there any place for medication to help folks cope through, or this is something that you completely are against?
Well, first of all, as you mentioned, there are some physical disorders such as bipolar or even panic attacks or obsessive compulsive, which can be helped by medication because they are due to some sort of physical imbalance, hormonal imbalance in the body. And their medications are important. Now, when you talk about medications such as the tranquilizers, we have to realize that tranquilizers are really essentially the same as alcohol. They give you a relief from a feeling because they're anesthetics. They numb you. And they may have a purpose as a temporary use, which under certain stress conditions, a person may need a tranquilizer. The problem is, and this is in my field of addiction, that people begin to rely on tranquilizers, and they must have them, and what happens is after they continue using them, that they lose their potency, the person develops, say, becomes refractory to them, and they only have to increase the dose. So I have had people who, instead of taking Valium 5 milligrams 3 times a day, build it up to where they're taking 300 milligrams a day. And some have been taking enough Valium that would kill an elephant, and yet their body is able to withstand that. And it makes them totally dysfunctional. So, yes, antidepressants and other appropriate medications, yes. But when it comes to tranquilizers, they must be used with great caution.
Rabbi Dr. Avraham Twersky, my guest. We only have a few minutes left. His new book out, get it, Happiness and the Human Spirit, what spirituality is really all about and why it is important for you. And Rabbi, we, as I said, we only have a few moments left. Is there a part? I want to ask you the rabbi question, if I may, not the doctor question now. Is there a part of Tanakh, sacred scripture, that you encourage folks to study, to read, to ponder over, to meditate on when they're in search of the self-esteem in their goals?
First of all, I believe that if one studies Tehillim, the Psalms, properly, with good commentaries and especially with a good teacher, one can get some very good messages out of Tehillim. By the way, people, if they want to know where they get the book Happiness, it's available through Amazon is the best place, Amazon.com. Mm. So there are other parts of Nevi'im that are very edifying, but I think that to really build self-esteem and happiness, that we can find some excellent guidelines in some of the Hasidic works, some of the Musa writers. These were people who had profound understanding of human psychology, and they gave us some good guidelines. Again, we need to know how to study them, because sometimes we can distort what they say. But with a good teacher, one can develop a simchat hachayim, a happiness in life, by developing oneself fully and developing one's potential to be the best person one can be.
Hmm. Fantastic. Rabbi Dr. Avram Tversky, I'm the only voice you can hear right now. I want to thank you on behalf of all the listeners for writing all the works and all the gifts you've shared with us in your writings. The new book out, Happiness and the Human Spirit, What Spirituality is Really All About and Why It Is Important for You. It's available on Amazon. Rabbi Tversky, thank you so much for joining us here on Israel National Radio.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
All too.